This is in the news for March 3rd, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. The first story today is from truthout.org and from Knight Ritter, written by Noel Straub. Bush plan to sell public lands assailed. This is out of Washington, D.C. Forest Service officials and Western lawmakers battled Tuesday over an administration proposal that would sell national forest lands to help pay for a rural schools program as the vital 30-day public comment period began. Agriculture Undersecretary Mark Ray defended the program but faced skeptical questions from senators of both parties during testimony before the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Congress must approve the proposal before any land could be sold. President Bush's 2007 budget proposed to fund payments over the 5 years to counties under the Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act by selling off up to $800 million worth of national forest system lands. The act, designed to provide transitional assistance to rural counties affected by declining revenue from timber harvests on federal lands, is set to expire at the end of this year unless Congress renews it. The Forest Service has identified 300,000 acres of land that could be offered for sale, although Ray said only about 175,000 acres would probably be needed to raise enough money. In Montana, 13,948 acres are potentially for sale in the Beaverhead, Bitterroot, Custer, Deer Lodge, Flathead, Gallatin, Helena, Kootenai, Lewis and Clark, and Lolo Forests. In Wyoming, 17,619 acres are potentially for sale in the Black Hills, Medicine Bow, and Bridger-Teton Forests, and the Thunder Basin National Grassland. Forest Service officials said they had posted detailed maps of every parcel on its website Tuesday so the public could examine them and make comments, but technical glitches plagued the site and the maps could not be seen for much of the day. Forest Service also on Tuesday published a notice in the Federal Register seeking comments until March 30th. Ray said the agency will rework the suggested list of parcels for sale after the comment period before presenting it to Congress. Montana and Wyoming members of Congress support the Rural Schools Act and want it to be renewed, but they generally say a different funding source must be found. Senator Conrad Burns, Republican of Montana, has called the land sales proposal, quote, dead in the water, end quote. Asked about it Tuesday, he replied, quote, I am opposed to it, that's it, end quote. Senator Max Baucus, Democrat of Montana, has been urging Montanans to unite to fight the proposal, and Representative Dennis Rayburg, Republican of Montana, objected to the land sales in a letter to Bush last week. Again, this is from Knight Ritter, written by Noel Straub, and taken from truthout.org. Next up, from the Times of the UK, and taken from commondreams.org, this is written by Rajiv Sial, soft drinks found to have high levels of cancer chemical. Traces of a carcinogenic chemical have been found in soft drinks at 8 times the level permitted in drinking water, it was revealed last night. Tests conducted on 230 drinks on sale in Britain and France have identified high levels of benzene, a compound known to cause cancer, according to the Food Standards Agency. There's a legal limit of 1 part per billion of benzene in British drinking water. The latest tests revealed levels of up to 8 parts per billion in some soft drinks. Benzene has been linked to leukemia and other cancers of the blood. Traces found in Perrier water 15 years ago led to the withdrawal of more than 160 million bottles worldwide. The disclosure has prompted food safety campaigners to demand that the government reveal which products contain benzene. At present, the drinks' identities have not been revealed. Richard Watts of Sustain, a pressure group lobbying for better food standards, said that this should be done urgently because the drinks were being marketed to children. He said, quote, the scientific evidence is unclear about whether there is any safe level of benzene. We see no reason why it should be different from the designated safe level in drinking water. If it is unsafe in drinking water, why should it be safe in soft drinks? End quote. The Food Standards Agency, the government watchdog, said that the products did not pose an immediate health risk, but called for further investigation from the British drinks industry. An agency spokesman said, quote, let's have further investigations and regular discussions with the drinks industry to check what is happening. If levels are high, then the FSA will take action to protect consumers, end quote. Food scientists believe that high levels of benzene may have been produced by the reaction of two commonly used ingredients, sodium benzoate, a preservative, and ascorbic acid, vitamin C. Sodium benzoate is widely used in the drink sector. In Britain, it is used in Britvic brands, including Britvic 55, apple and orange flavors, P9 spring-flavored waters, and Shandy Bass, It is not known if any of these products were included in the latest tests. A spokesman for Britvic has previously expressed confidence in its products. A spokesman for the British Soft Drinks Association said yesterday that the industry was working to reduce the levels of benzene in soft drinks. They said, quote, there is an obligation on the industry to have as low a level of benzene as possible, and we're looking at ways of reducing the levels, and maybe even removing the preservative, if we can replace it with something else, end quote. When minuscule traces of benzene were discovered in Perrier water 15 years ago, it forced the French company to withdraw millions of bottles. Tests have been carried out in Europe after U.S. food watchdogs found benzene in juices and sodas. The Food and Drug Administration registered its concern about the possible long-term effects on health. Professor Glenn Lawrence of Long Island University, who first conducted tests for benzene in soft drinks 13 years ago, said that the combination of sodium benzoate and vitamin C was commonly used in drinks in the early 1990s. He said that drinks firms were now putting vitamin C back into drinks to encourage consumers to buy the product. He said that this was being done to encourage parents to buy the drinks to improve their children's health, but it might just be doing the opposite. There's more on this, again, at commondreams.org. This article appeared in the Times in the United Kingdom on March 2nd. And finally, tonight, from Interpress Service News Agency, by Imad McKay, bank rejects rapid review of controversial pipeline. The main public investor in a controversial gas pipeline in Peru's Amazon rainforest that has ruptured four times already appears adamant not to bow to pressure from green groups demanding a full investigation after a study asserted that the pipeline is shoddily built and likely to break again. The Washington-based Inter-American Development Bank, or IDB, says it will review the study before it takes a formal position. On Monday, the California-based engineering and environmental consultancy firm ETEC International published a report that found that the pipeline was sloppily built, the welding was done by unqualified staff, and that 40% of the pipe used was old and corroded. A bank official told IPS that they haven't seen strong evidence in the study yet to merit an immediate review of the project, as requested by environmental and rights groups. Robert Montgomery, head of the Environmental and Social Unit in the IDB private sector department, said, quote, I think we have no information after 5 years of involvement with the project that supports those allegations, end quote. He continued, if you look at the statements that are in there, they are very strong statements that need to be supported by fact and not opinion and not hearsay and so forth, end quote. Montgomery said the findings, especially that 40% of the pipe was actually left over from previous projects, were so grave that the consortium building the pipeline would request a retraction from the authors of the report if no further evidence is given. Montgomery also said, quote, this is a pretty serious allegation. The project is only a year and a half in operation. Nothing like this has been raised in the past. There's been no statement of that. The IDB and its independent engineers and consultants have never heard of that or have no knowledge to support that, end quote. While environmental groups hoped the study would prompt the IDB to change its course on the rest of the pipeline, the bank appeared unfazed and is continuing talks with the project consortium, including lead shareholder Texas-based Hunt Oil, over financing for future phases of the deal. Green and rights groups gathering in Washington this week for their periodic consultations with the IDB about the Carmesilla natural gas project saw further reluctance by the IDB to reconsider its work on the Carmesilla when senior management of the bank snubbed the meeting, leaving it to lower-level staff. IDB Executive Vice President Ciro DeFalco came in, stayed for several minutes, delivered a prepared statement, took no questions, and missed the other presentations. The groups, including Amazon Watch and World Wildlife Fund Peru, pointed a finger at the IDB, saying, if it weren't for its lax oversight, the environmentally sensitive area and indigenous people living there would not have suffered damage from the spills, including contaminated drinking water and food. There's more on this at Interpress Service News Agency, ipsnews.net. This has been In the News for March 3rd, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.